Got a Bible this evening. You turn with us over the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. We may be winding up this book tonight. And when we get back from the Philippines, we may start back in on Wednesday night as well as Sunday night through the book of the Revelation. And so you'd be helping me pray about that. A lot of things to pray for. I'm glad that we have a place that we can go and pray this evening. He said in Philippians 4, verse 13, we dealt with, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, aren't you glad good things come in cans tonight? I can do all things. And then he said, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He said, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or helped with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. He said, I had some great needs and you sent me support. He said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And I'm going to tell you, only glory will reveal the fruit that the people of Liberty Baptist Church has been able to accomplish through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He says, but I have all and I abound and I am full, having received of Euphrates the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, the older I get in the Lord, Brother Brad, the more I realize you want to get God's attention. There's some things gets His attention and sacrifice to do it tonight. He loves sacrifice and faith. Matter of fact, He said, the things that were sent from you, it was a sacrifice. He said it was hard. He said you done it. And so he said it was well pleasing to God. But my God, now you may have a funny Bible that says might, but mine don't. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to deal with this subject that our God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Now, first of all, I see a person, my God. And then I see a promise, He shall. Then I see provision, He will supply all your needs. Now, He didn't say greeds, did He? But needs. Could somebody say amen tonight? Let me know. Everybody didn't go to the house. Where are you at tonight? Lord Jesus, I've been preaching my heart out about 2 weeks. Where in the world y'all at tonight? I mean, I'm reading, trying to get amen. Y'all look around like a calf at a new gate. My Lord. Everybody just look around and say, who's here? Get all that over with. I'm trying to preach the word to you tonight. Need a little help. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Now I found out this evening through studying, God has numerous bank accounts. I wonder, has anybody here got a couple of accounts? Our church has 2 accounts. We have a main account. We have a mission account. But I wonder how many tonight you pick up a checkbook and you say, well, I can't write it out of that account because it ain't nothing in it. So I'll get another and got a little bit over in that account and hope that the check clears. Honey, let me tell you, God ain't wondering if His check going to clear tonight. God's got His bank full according to His riches and glory. Ain't got nothing to do with what we got. It's all about what He's got tonight. And so I want to say, first of all, you'll find out that He's got 4 accounts. He's got an account that He says in Romans chapter number 2 and verse 4. Let's look at that tonight. Romans 2 and verse
Number four, aren't you glad that God has several accounts that He can handle your needs out of? Now, we see that He has the riches of goodness in Romans 2 and verse number 4. He says this in verse 3. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same? Thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness? There's one account. And forbearance. My good, ain't it amazing what God has put up with me and you? God forbears some things. Aren't you glad that God does put up with some things in spite of who we are and in spite of what we do to Him? You know, I got caught up preaching last night in a text in Mark 2. I'd never seen it. The Bible said, and again Jesus came to Capernaum. Aren't you glad we've got a God that does things again? Isn't it amazing how He'll come back here again? If I was Him sometime, I'd get my feelings hurt when nobody wouldn't praise me. If I was God on the throne and folks didn't appreciate me, I don't know if I'd come back or not. Boy, we got a God that does it again, don't we? So we see He has riches of goodness. He said Romans 2 and 4, thou despisest the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I want to say you'll find out that here His riches of goodness can supply all of our needs of salvation. I'm glad He still saves old sinners. He said, let me tell you why you're saved. Because the riches of His good. God don't have to try to be good because He is good. The goodness of His riches. Isn't it amazing that He has great riches filled with goodness? He's got a great account that you can access tonight that is filled with goodness and mercy. The Bible said in Romans 3 and 24, watch this. He said, being justified, that means set free, declared not guilty. He said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That word forbearance means tolerance. Isn't it amazing how God has tolerated things in our life and saved you by His goodness and mercy and by His grace? Aren't you glad He's got an account of goodness tonight? Lord, one day in 1981, He accessed that account of goodness and saved me by the grace of God. Boy, I'm telling you, He had to forbear some things. He had to tolerate some things about me. Then we see in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved or melted, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, that word's behavior, and godliness, looking for and hasten to the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm going to tell you, everything down here is going to burn up one day. You used to hear the preachers of days gone by, they'd preach about this passage. Coming a day when the earth is going to burn with fire is a great event. None of that's changed tonight. I'm just glad that the born again children of God, where God one day in one specific time access His bank account of goodness bestowed upon you through forbearance and saved you by the grace of God. And now according to Revelation chapter 4, after these things I heard a voice in heaven as a great trumpet talking to me, and we're going to get out of this place and it's going to burn for the glory of God. Don't be holding on too tight of the treasures and the things down here, because you ain't going to take them with you up there, honey. There's coming a day this place is going to burn up. The pews at Baptist bought are going to burn up. It's going to burn as an oven. A lot of people there, they think more of the gifts than the giver. God never intended, never one time He's ever given you a gift that He meant for it to mean more to you than the giver. Amen. And so we better get our eyes on priority and our hearts on priority. This is not a book of fables or fairy tales. It's a book of the Word of God that's been tried through thousands of years. It's going to stand when this world is a-burning. It'll be there on judgment morning. It's going to judge our lives. You better know that you're saved by the grace of God. You better know you're washed in the blood and your sins is gone, because there's a payday coming someday. I'm glad He can access goodness on the needs of salvation. And you will never get saved till you see the need to get saved. And boy, I'm glad I seen the need in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 4. Titus 3 and verse number 4. Titus writes, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing or the renovation of the Holy Ghost." I'm glad He lives in my heart tonight. I'm glad there's even some children asking you, "Mama, Daddy, does the Holy Ghost live in me?" I want to know, does He live in you tonight? I'm glad I can only know this for a surety. He lives in me. If somebody big as God, as big as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, somebody big as those three persons are, honey, if they move into your heart, you're going to know that something different. He says we're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost that lives in my heart. We see He can access that great account of goodness for the needs of salvation. John 3:16. A lot of people think that's so elementary. That's one of the most amazing verses in our Bible. It'd be a good text to pull out John 3:16 and preach to sinners here on Sunday morning. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Honey, God never intended one man to die and go to hell in their sins. Some men believe that some was predestinated to heaven and some to hell. I can give you doctrinal scriptures tonight to blow that plumb out of the water. Number one, He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Number two, He said hell was created for the devil and his angels. I remember a man after God's own heart. The Bible said he committed adultery and sin. And the ex came to his house. There's a male child born. And that baby died. And David looked up and said, "Dear God, He can't come to where I am, but I'm glad I can go to where He is. Honey, I'm glad God saves those sinners. If you die and go to hell tonight, you'll die and you'll go to hell as an intruder. Jesus died for you. He died for your sins. He died for your future sin. He died for you. You ought to thank God that He put the bank of goodness in your life and wrote a check one glorious day. Put your name on it by the grace of God and saved you by His love and His mercy. You ought to thank God He wrote the check, put your name on it. Access the bank of goodness and mercy. Because I had no goodness in me. And you had no goodness in you. But I'm glad that there is riches of goodness. Psalms 23, verse number 1. Look what the psalmist David said on this bank of goodness. Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord, He is my shepherd. Is He yours tonight? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, every time I stop, mercy and goodness bumps into me. Ain't that amazing how God loves you enough? One day He wrote the check of mercy, grace, and goodness. Put your name on it and access that account. Boy, I'm glad it's paid. Ain't you glad that check didn't bounce for the glory? Ain't you glad it's signed in blood tonight? Lord goodness, I'm glad it ain't returned to the sender. Oh my! Well, there is riches of goodness. Number 2, not only does He have a bank account for the needs of salvation, but He has a great account for the needs of sanctification. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, you're going to notice another account that He has. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 7, listen what the apostle writes. He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There's the second account. Not only riches of goodness, but He has riches of grace. And that helps us in our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 1. Now, you don't hear this taught much in the Baptist church anymore. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Matter of fact, I've been challenged to preach a message at this in the Philippines, that conference, on sanctification of the spirit of the saints of God. What is sanctification? First of all, it is purity tonight. It is holiness. It is perfection. How in the world can we stay pure? Well, I can tell you this. Not by that old man that lives in us. You know something? We hear a lot about people getting saved, but then we don't hear much about holy living, do we? Didn't God say, love not the world, come out from among them and be ye separate? What happened to that motto in the Baptist church? Needs of sanctification. I have needs in my sanctification. I can tell you one of the biggest needs I have is grace. Because, honey, I fail in sanctification every day of my life. So we see here Paul's writing, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now tonight, oh, how we need the riches of grace to help us in sanctification. Have you lived more like the devil today, or have you lived more like Jesus? Sanctification. Now, I've noticed this. The devil loves to beat a child of God up once they've sinned and once they've done something. Now, I'm from this school, honey. I know we're human, and I know we're going to sin. I know we're going to all fall short of the glory of God. After we've been saved, I know we'll sin, but I've got Bible to tell you tonight, you cannot lay in that sin long if you're a child of God. He said there's a seed remaineth in you, and you cannot sin. You cannot have that lifestyle of sin anymore. Now I was doing things when God saved me that I'm not pleased about tonight. But I'm going to tell you, honey, after I got saved, when He saved me, He sealed me with the Holy Ghost. By the way, that don't mean put a lid on. That word seal was an insignia from the King. He made an impression, making it was genuine. We as Baptists think it's like a seal on a mason jar. That ain't right. No, look it up in your Greek. That means He took hot wax and He put a seal on it, showing that He was belonged to the King. I'm glad one day He melted my heart and He put the Holy Ghost on me as His seal. The Holy Ghost is the King's seal. You remember, even when Jesus was put in the tomb and that stone was rolled on the mouth, that King put a seal on it to say it was genuine and I've sealed. He didn't seal it up with wax and a candle. He put His seal of the King on it. And honey, that seal tonight, that when the day you got saved, He put the Holy Ghost in you, and that's His seal. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. The Holy Ghost is not an afterthought. The day God saved you, He came and lived in you as a person of the Holy Ghost, and that's His seal on your life, and you can't do what you used to do if you're a child of God. If you've made a profession, you can still tell the jokes. You can go to the pool rooms. You can drink their beer. You can do the things that crowd always done, and it don't bother you. You've never been saved by the grace of God. Sanctification. Now, we're all going to make mistakes. I was doing things I'm not proud of, and I started dabbling back in them things about 6 months after I got saved. But something was different now. And there was somebody in there talking to me that never was talking to me. Somebody in there grieving me that had never bothered me at all. And so I found out, honey, I could smoke all I wanted, could drink all I wanted, and cuss all I wanted. The matter is, He took the wanting out of me, glory to God. Can I get a witness tonight? I found out I didn't want to no more. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost hates sin. You say, preacher, I don't believe it. Well, I tell you what, let's wait and see who makes it. I'm going because the Bible said I'm going because the Holy Ghost lives in me. And I don't care what somebody's told you, you better know your name's written down yonder in glory land world. Hell will be your home. I don't care if you are one of the members of the best churches in the Southeast. Hell will be your home if you've never been saved. And you can have one of the best preachers in America preach to you. You can have one of the best Sunday school teachers in America. But if you've never been saved, it ain't getting you to where we're going tonight. You better know that you say. Sanctification. Now, what happened after I sinned, after I saved? I needed grace. I didn't need the law. How many times has the devil told you quit because you sinned? How many times the devil told you, you're not saved or you wouldn't have done that? But what the devil ain't told you is how grieved you are about it that you done it. It used to didn't bother you, did it? But now it bothers you. Because there's somebody in there you dumping that garbage in on. And he's pushing out. He said, don't put that stuff down here on me. He's a person. Now, in Philippians 3 and 13, I believe Apostle Paul gave us some good advice, Philippians 3 and 13. We need him to access his bank of grace called sanctification. We're going to mess up. You're going to mess. Somebody's going to make you say something you wished you hadn't said. Have you ever said something you wished you hadn't said? Have you ever done something that you wished you hadn't done? Paul gives us good advice. And this is what happens. A lot of people get embarrassed. They get knocked out of church. They never come back. You know why? Because the devil hoodwinks them. Honey, there ain't nobody in this congregation perfect that I know about tonight. Because it took one perfect and he died for my sins. Now you watch this. Paul said, he said this. He said in Philippians 3 and 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before. It would amaze you tonight. The people that struggle with their past. If there was ever a man that was ashamed of his past, he wrote this down. He would come in places like this. He'd take me and you back to Jerusalem. He would beat us at a whipping post. Because he thought he was doing God righteousness because he stood up for the Jews and he didn't know about this new thing of grace in Jesus. He stood for the law. He said, I forgot about them things that are behind and reaching forth of those things which are before. Listen, it's no time to throw the towel in tonight because you've messed up. Go on for the glory of God. And the Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore one another in the manner of meekness, considering yourself. And you know what I've done found out you better not do? You better never ever say, my young'uns won't do that. You better never ever say, I won't do that. Because you know why we all robed in this stuff called flesh. And we must strive every day to be more like Christ. Did you know that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son? We weren't predestined to heaven or hell. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know what God's ambition for you to be? Is to be Christ-like. Christ-like. Sanctification, that's holiness, that's purification. Once we're saved, we ought to be growing in the things of the Lord. We ought to know more about our Bible today than we did yesterday. We ought to know more about praying and praising and being a light in our community and helping sinners get saved by the grace of God. Sanctification. Boy, aren't you glad He can access that bank of grace. Now in Romans 6 and verse number 12, I wonder how many times He has to reach in and get that grace for us every day of our life. Romans 6 verse number 12. Now, it sounds like to me that I've got an option of some things. In Romans 6 and 11, likewise reckon or calculates what that word means or conclude yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not, you ought to underline that, let not sin reign. Now listen, it may slip up on you. You can't help them birds flying over your head, but you can help them making a nest on your head. you're going to slip. You're going to mess up. But he said, don't let sin be king. Don't let it reign. Don't let it rule in your mortal body. Boy, ain't you glad we're going to get a heavenly body. I'm trying my best to get some of you conditioned to heaven. I don't know what you're going to do when we get there and all that shouting's going on. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do. And you that don't like church, I don't know what in the world you're going to do. Let not. Now watch this. Okay, if I'm not going to let my body do something, what I got to do? In verse 13 is what you've got to do. You've got to yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, as unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You've got to yield. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion or lord over ye. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let not. You've got to yield to the Spirit of God. How many times the Spirit of God said, no, 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 no. No, no, don't, no, don't do that. And you say, no, Spirit of God. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what the flesh does. Say, we got a big flesh problem. Big flesh problem. That's why Paul said, crucify that old man. If you don't put him on a cross every day, he'll get bigger than that spiritual man in you, and he'll reign in your life. Oh, sanctification. Aren't you glad God's a God of grace? All right, now what about my hero in the Bible? Let's go tonight and hope I can find it. It's one of the Gospels, Matthew. It's about Peter, Matthew chapter number 14. Let's take a look here tonight, see if I can find it right quick. It's not that. Let's take a look at, we're going to hunt it till we find it. Let's go to Luke 14. Okay, let's go to John 14. Well, I've only got one more place to go. Let's try Mark 14. I think I found it. Here it is. Mark 14, 26. Some of y'all need to go to them four Gospels. You ain't been there today, no how. I wish some of y'all was up here doing this sometime. Mark 14, 26, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, ye shall be offended because of me this night. In other words, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be talked about. And he said, not really because of Liberty Baptist Church. Because of me, you're going to be offended, is what he said. He says, it's all about Jesus. That's why people's offended at you. And that's why down there at the family reunions, they don't call on you to pray. That's how come they sort of treat you like you ain't even part of the family no more. It ain't because this church, it's because he's represented in this church. He said, I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, but after that I'm risen, I'll go before you again. But Peter said to him, although all shall be offended, yet not me, Lord. Well, not I. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, this night, even this night before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They all said, Lord, not me. Said, Lord, we won't never forsake you. Lord, we won't never deny you. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about purification. I'm talking about holy living tonight. So what happened? Luke 22:55. The Bible said, then they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's office, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, burnt. Stake number one. You lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst, Peter sat down among them, and a certain maid burnt. Number two. There's trouble number two. I'm the only one preaching tonight, but I'm having a time. As he sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Ain't that something, how a woman will make a man act crazy? Denied, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also them. Peter said, man, I am not. Now, buddy, that's on out there, ain't it? And about the space of one after another, confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also is with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what you say. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Look here, verse 61. Lord, can you imagine this? And the Lord turned and looked on Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can I tell you, none of that's changed tonight. Number one, you better be careful what fire you're setting around. Number two, you better be real careful about what kind of company you keep. And number three, don't you forget, nothing's changed with the Lord, because He sees everything tonight. Lord, when we deny Him, and when we do something that we know we should not do, I wonder how He's looking when He sees it. You know, there's a lot of things used to really bother me. For some reason or another, Brother Jerry, it really didn't matter if my mama found out. But I didn't want my daddy to know. Can I tell you tonight, He's looking at all of us. He knows every life in here tonight. Amen. He's died for you. He's died for me. And I believe we better be careful that we're not denying Him in our life. I'm glad failure is not final. Because the Bible said this, you see, even though he denied the Lord, in John 21 now, he hadn't seen the Lord. Jesus is crucified. Could you imagine that going on in Peter's heart all this time? His Lord is on a cross. He's denied him. They've led him away. They've put him on that cross. They've crucified him. None of his disciples was there, according to what I see in the Word of God. Some of the ladies beheld him afar off. But now Peter's had to go home with that on his heart. You know, I hate to go home with something on me that I know I need to take care of. And so he's not seen the Lord. Remember, he even run to the tomb trying to find him with John. And the angel simply said, he's not here, he's risen. So this is going on in Peter's heart the whole time. Now, you know the story in John 21, he goes fishing. Jesus makes that great impression. What you got? They said, nothing. He said, well, cast on the right side and you shall find. They could not draw it for a multitude of fishes. And in verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who was John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it, it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. But he was getting there to do business. He said, that's the Lord. I need to talk with him. I need to tell him something. Boy, you look over here in Acts. Ain't you glad this is in your Bible? Acts 2 now, he makes things right. Acts 2:14, Jesus has ascended back to heaven. The Bible said, but Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice, said to them, ye men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. He begins to preach with mighty power. And then in Acts 2 and 47, the Bible said, and the Lord added to the church daily. Then he said in verse 41, there were added to them about 3,000 souls.
Isn't that amazing? How God can allow a failure to get up and go on for the glory of God, and God gloriously use him. The devil would love to tell you you're no good for nothing. Boy, I mean, he would. He would love to tell you what you've done this week. You'll never get forgiveness for. But I'm glad I've got something over there in my Bible that I can share with the devil tonight. He said, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's even my past. Paul said, I need to press on. I need to forget about what I've done. Folks, I've got a lot of things I'm not happy with. Even since I've been saved, these things I'm not happy with. I can't dwell on them, Brother Dennis. I got to go on for the glory of God. Aren't you glad that he has riches of grace for your sanctification? Aren't you glad when you the first time you see him, he don't strike you the lightning bolt and kill you? That's what he ought to do to all of us. How many times has he wrote that check of grace and give you? Don't you think that we ought to sort of access the bank account of grace for some other folks? Folks that's done us wrong, what have we done anything wrong to the Lord? Two accounts. He has riches of goodness. He has riches of grace. Third tonight, he has riches of glory. And it has to do not only with our salvation and sanctification, but here he deals with all of our situations. I'm glad he shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Has anybody went hungry here today? I ain't no doubt that some of us don't have some things that we'd like to have, but I mean really basically. Can't you look back in your life and see what God's done for you? I want to tell you what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 about this needs of salvation. I'm going to tell you how he supplies your needs in situations. You got to work. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Paul's writing, he says, I want you to study to be quiet, do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Then he said in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, I don't know where this generation has come from that they're supposed to have everything their mom and daddy's had that's been married for 20, 30, and 40 years. But that ain't in the Bible. We got to work for what we get. And listen, don't you sit around on your backside and wonder how come your table's empty. God ain't done that to you. God supplies your needs because of effort and work and responsibility. You know, I'd take an inventory. If I've never had nothing, I'd be finding out why. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. Proverbs 6:6. I'll be closing. Proverbs 6:6. Somebody asked me if I was going to preach along tonight. I said, I don't know. Proverbs 6:6. Look what he says. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide or overseer or ruler. She provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. We must gather when it is to be had.
We must not do as the grasshopper, which sings and plays all summer and dies in the winter. Hello? People are raising children different.
I wished my children could have been raised where I was raised. Some of you don't know what it is to not have much. Therefore, you can't appreciate it.
And what I see in a generation is we're handing young kids and we teach them no work ethic at all. None. I had young men used to walk in that plant. They said they wanted a job, and when we give them one, that ain't what they wanted. It was a job. Did you know in the book of Genesis, Jesus said, that told Adam, since you sinned in the garden, by the sweat of thy brow shalt you go all the days of your life, and cursed is the ground for your sake. Now I'm going to tell you something. Work's not always fun. But we're raising a generation that knows nothing about working from get up to can't.
I used to tell Macy these tales. You know, she'd say, oh, Daddy. Daddy. I know you had one pair of blue jeans, Daddy. But I want you to think about something a minute. 12 years old. You look at the kids in this church, 12. Now, I want you to think about it a minute. I would take a push mower that dropped me off in town, 9 miles where we live. My daddy would drop me off with a lawnmower and a gallon of gas in a milk jug, and I'd go door to door and say, can I mow your grass for $2? I could mow 3 a day. That was $6. At the end of the week, that was $30. When I got 13, I graduated from a lawnmower to a hayfield. I'd ride a bicycle to a hayfield, and I'd spend my whole summer there picking up square hay bales, putting them in the barn for 3 cents a bale. We would take 100 to the barn at a time in an hour. I made $3 an hour. That might not seem much, but you know something? Friday, I had some money in my pocket. You know why? Because I went to work. And you know something, Brother David? When they give me a Pepsi truck, it was a gravy train from a hayfield. They said, we ain't never seen many people work like you. Thank God I had a mom and daddy didn't spoon feed me. You're doing your children disadvantage handing them everything. You ought to teach them to work. And they can't work with their breeches dragging down on the ground. They made belts for two things. Hold up their breeches and to strap their backside. And we've lost the truth of it all. He said, consider the ant. Work while you can get the work. I had a boss, she's telling me, son, you better put the hay in the barn while you got the hay. And if I wouldn't have nothing tonight, I'd be taking an inventory wondering why I didn't have nothing. I'm not talking about a castle. I ain't talking about a new Cadillac. But I'm talking about if it wasn't enough food on my table, I'd be wondering what was going on in my life. Because this Bible's got principles. And if you live by it, you can bank on it. And if you go the other way, you can bank on that too. It's no reason
for a man in our day and hour to not have a job. Don't tell him, don't give me that. You might not make what you want to make. And you might not be on the shift you want to be. And you may not be doing what you want to be doing. But don't tell me you can't find a job. I didn't like third and second shift, but I done what I had to do. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and do what you got to do. I don't like babysitting, but I got to do it some. I wish y'all could run with me in these roads a couple of months. The needs of salvation, he's got riches of goodness. Needs of sanctification, he's got riches of grace. Needs of situations, he's got riches of glory. But lastly, in Romans 11:33, he has riches of wisdom. Romans 11:33. Ain't y'all glad I've got off going to church and got on getting a job? I figured I'd let some of you rest a while. But don't think I won't get back on it. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How searchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, he has a great account of wisdom. James 1 and 5. Do you need any direction for what you're doing? Do you? Do you need any direction? James 1 and 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you know what that word basically means? How to be wise. How to be wise. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you don't know what to do, I can tell you how to get to know what to do. Ask the Lord that knows what to do. Miss Sherry, would you come tonight? I know you're tired and... Whether you believe this or not, a lot of times you probably think I preach because I'm meddling. And you probably think I preach because I live over there with you and I know everything going on about you. I don't know a lot about you and I don't want to know a lot about you. But I'll tell you what's in my heart to do with you is to challenge you and to preach the truth to you. And I'm glad God has riches for all of you. Now, preacher, how am I going to get through this? I don't know. But He does. Preacher, how am I going to get this bill paid? I don't know, but He does. Preacher, this that I've done, and I just don't know if I can go on with what I've done or not. He's got riches of grace tonight. If He's forgiven you, forgive yourself. There's nobody here perfect. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you know something? He can take care of that tonight. Because He died for you. And He loves you. And He wants to help you. My sister plays tonight. I want to open up our altar. I wonder, do you need anything in your life tonight?